atmosphere is changing. Nothing stays the same. Heaven is waiting for the mention of the name. The Spirit is moving, burning like a flame, healing the broken by the one we proclaim. Raise it up, fill the sky. Mountains move, mountains move. We lift you high. Speak the name above. Hostages of shame, miracles unfolding at the mention of the name. Our darkness is fleeing, mercy reigns. Move, we lift him.
Of this nation, we break the power. We speak from this position of authority today at the riverbank. According to the word of God, we challenge the Pharaoh over the youths. We challenge the Pharaoh of drugs. We challenge the Pharaoh over institutions. Oh, come on, open your mouth. We challenge Pharaoh, the Pharaoh of institutions, here at the riverbank. Every Pharaoh holding them down. Every Pharaoh holding down the black race. Every Pharaoh. Melo Sibrahataha. Zeleke Sibraha. Zepratadia. Lebro Sande Keteza. We challenge Pharaoh. We make a mess. We destroy the harmony of the enemy over this nation, over the youths, over the young ones, over the adults, over our parents. The stronghold of the enemy over them is broken. Hallelujah. We give you praise. Lord, we give you glory. We bless you, Lord. You are glorious. Thank you, Father. To you be all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can the church of God shout and believe in amen? Please be seated in God's presence. Thank you, choir. Thank you. Thank you. God has shot me in it too. I just want to take you through. We've been talking about hunger and thirst. And I just want to show you a couple of things very quickly from God's word. If I will have the Bible reader, and you please join me to Judges chapter 11. I want to show you something very quickly, and then we pray, and then God's servant will be coming and give us some mandates by the Spirit of the Lord. Judges chapter 11. I want to show you something very quickly. And peradventure, you may be able to find yourself in this passage of the scripture, so that we can pray together. Not just pray together, so that we can know what to do together. But adventure, you find yourself in a similar position. Judges chapter 11. Sweet Holy Spirit, I give you praise. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. We give you glory. You are beautiful Savior. You are excellent Jehovah. And there is none like you. We worship. Judges chapter 11, please. From verse 1.
Jephthah.
Jephthah. Somebody say Jephthah. Jephthah. Oh, come on, call it loud. Say Jephthah.
Jephthah. Okay. Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty warrior. His father was Gilead. His mother was a prostitute. Gilead's wife also bore him sons. And when they were grown up, they drove Jephthah away.
Now look up 1 minute. How does a man's chapter open with two contradictory words? Jephthah, verse 1. The Gileadite was a mighty warrior. His father was Gilead. That would have been good. That would have been beautiful if it stayed there. But something soiled that verse 1 story. The Bible says his mother was a prostitute. And I've always wondered, why will God decide to open chapters of people's life with what is supposed to be the closing of their life? Because how do you say Jephthah was a mighty warrior and then you begin to tell us the rubbish that happened? How do you explain what happened in 1 Chronicles as well concerning Jabez? The Bible said, and it opened in verse 9 or thereabout, he said, and Jabez was more honorable than all his brethren. But listen, and then he went to next line and he said, when his mother gave birth to him, his mother called him sorrow. And I wonder why God does this many of the times. And I begin to discover that many of the times, God, listen to this, it will help you. God will decide to use any vehicle to take you to where he has designed for you. The vehicle may look rickety. The vehicle may be prostitute. The vehicle may be abuse. The vehicle may be gangsterisms. The vehicle may be drugs. It does not matter to God. What matters to God is you getting into purpose. Is that you get to where he has ordained for you. He will choose any vehicle. The vehicle may be depression. You can look around today and see how many people got to where they are today, which is the house of purpose, by all manner of vehicles. All manner of vehicles. Gileadite, Jephthah the Gileadite, was a mighty man. But listen, his mother was a prostitute. And God does not care about vehicles. And do you know something? Not just that he does not care, he decides which vehicle. There are vehicles you don't decide by yourself. Jephthah's mother, was that the design of Jephthah by himself? No. He was born by the woman. He didn't choose who will give birth to him. Listen to me. There are many of you, you are looking back to your background and you are still looking for who to blame. Forget who to blame. Focus on where God has ordained you to. Because where you came from is not the issue. The real issue is where God is taking you to. For someone in this service today, I declare you are getting there. I thought you would say, I said you are getting there. Somebody shout yes. A little bit. So, Gilead now married. The father of Jephthah married, and then, because the Lord told me there are so many Jephthahs here that need to understand and know how to deal with these contradictions of life. The contradictions of life. Mighty man, born by a prostitute. That was not the end of story. Verse 2, the wife, the authentic wife, if there's any such thing, now gave birth to children. And when the children grew up, they said, Jephthah, even though we met you here, but we have discovered from history that you are not supposed to be part of this family. And all of a sudden, they chased Jephthah out of the house. They chased him away from his comfort zone. They chased him away from where he was already settling. They chased him away from where he was already building a plan of a life. To say, okay, at least my father who's died now has this property. And because, how you will know, is because the man has died. And the Bible said, the children said their major reason was only because of inheritance. Inheritance. How many lives have been wasted on the bed of inheritance? How many lives have been wasted even because they were born into affluence and comfort? But you know something? The Lord showed me some things here, which I want to quickly share with you, and then we go and pray. The Bible said, they stretched him out, and verse 3 now, because of my time, I will rush this. Verse 3.
So, Jephthah fled from his brothers.
Now, stop there. I thought Jephthah would have stayed to fight them. Because at least the Bible says he was a good guy. He probably was heavily built already even from the house. But the Bible said Jephthah fled. And I was trying to look at why will Jephthah flee from them? Why will he decide not to fight that battle? And the Lord told me, he said, son, tell my people, it's not every battle that is relevant to your destiny. There are battles you are fighting. You have no reward for those battles. They are waste of energy, waste of strength, waste of virtue. You don't need to fight for inheritance. You don't need to fight with your brothers. Why? Because the real fight is with nations. The real fight is with nations, not with your brothers. The real fight is for nations and territories, not for inheritance. Some of you, unfortunately, some people are still fighting even their brothers in church. I know. What is going to be your gain? Listen to me. This is how you will know hunger. This is how you know hunger. Before you engage in any fight, you should be able to sit and ask yourself, now, what shall be the gain of who wins this battle? Go and check the secret of every great man. That's why you will see in this same Judges chapter 11 eventually, when the elders came to Jephthah, where he retreated to, they came to him, we need you now. The first question that struck in the heart of Jephthah, when they said, you are going to be our leader, Jephthah said, hey, stop there. There's been an hunger. I had something that looks like what I have been hungry after. Do you really mean that I will be head over you when I go to this battle? Now, it speaks of hunger. When you look at the prayer of Jabez too, the Bible said, and Jabez cried, and he said, oh, that you will bless me. Indeed, the problem with many people is this, they are taking out their hunger on the wrong things. Trying to fight your brothers when you're supposed to be fighting nations. Trying to fight your sister in church when you're supposed to be talking about taking nations. Fighting principalities. Haven't you heard that your battle is not with principalities in low places? Haven't you heard, according to Ephesians chapter 6, that you have been equipped by God to wrestle with principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, not low places? You are still fighting people in low places, and you are not even checking with yourself what shall be the reward of whoever wins this. Do they give you an award for winning a battle against your sister? They give you certificates. Yes. In fact, you have won three battles. That sister, you shut her down. She knew that, yes, you are the one. How many awards have they given you? Listen, don't be deceived. The devil is distracting you from the real battle. Because Jephthah knew that fighting my brother is not the real battle. There is a bigger battle I'm supposed to fight. And when I fight that battle correctly, then all these ones that are making noise, they come under me. Listen, what would have happened when Jephthah became the president to the brothers fighting for inheritance? What would have happened to them? I'm sure they would have come to him, sir, and with all manner of protocol. They were fighting for inheritance of a father's house. Jephthah was meant to be fighting for nations. And how do you fight for nations? I'll wrap this up here. How do you fight for nations? If you do not identify a group of people that are fighting God's battle, you'll be fighting your personal battle. And unless you fight God's battle, your personal battles will remain a battle you fight till you die. Jephthah would have been fighting his brothers, fighting his sisters, fighting everybody. But listen to me, he identified the Lord's battle. He joined himself to them and took on the Lord's battle. You will see it later in that Judges chapter 11. The Bible said, and Jephthah said, he sent a message to the nation that wanted to fight the children of Israel. He said, why are you fighting my people? He took it personal. Some of you, you've come to the company of this great house, but you have not become personal about it. You have not bonded yourself to the vision. You have not bonded your own personal vision and submitted it to the house. And then it becomes a problem. You are still fighting your personal battles. While you see the battle of the Lord as, yes, whatever I can do, I will do. Meanwhile, what you are supposed to fight is really the battle of the Lord. And then your own personal battles become subdued under the bigger battle. I don't know whether I'm talking to anyone here in the house, but please take note of this. You may be a Jephthah in this house. You may be complaining about where you are coming from, how you got here. But listen, how you got here is not material. The fact of the case is that you are already here. You have come under a house where the battle of the Lord is what we are fighting. And if only you can bond yourself with this great company, first and foremost, surrendering your life and yourself to the Lord Jesus, you discover that your personal battles become a cheap battle. Don't fight every battle. Don't fight every battle. David, this is how you know people that are hungry and thirsty. When David got to the place where Goliath was harassing the children of Israel, David said, "What shall be given to the man?" The guy had been anointed. But he said, "No, I know something is fighting within me. There is a hunger for greatness. There's a hunger for relevance. There's a hunger for making impact in my society." Yeah. He said, "What shall be given to the man that wins this idiot?" And they told him, so and so. "Is that so? It looks like I'm getting closer. Because by the time I become in law of the king, they're already in the palace. Then it looks like what I'm hungry for. Because the anointing has come upon me. The anointing makes me hungry. And so therefore, I need to know what's in this battle for me. Before you engage in any battle with a brother, with a sister, check out what shall be the reward. What shall be the reward if I win this battle? What shall be the reward if I win this battle?" And these are the things you and I need to understand. Let me show you here. You are not supposed to be fighting small and insignificant battles. They are energy wasting, time consuming, and in the end has no profit. Ordained what you originally fight, what you are ordained to fight. You don't need to stab your brother. You don't need to steal from a fellow brother. Yes, there is something in you that is hungry for something. But listen, look for a people. Look for a nation to whom you can join yourself and fight the battle of the Lord. Listen to me. One thing the Lord told me, said, the army that gathered to Jephthah, the Bible called them scoundrels, worthless and vain fellows. And the Lord told me, said, tell my people, the army of the Lord does not start with top people. Never does. It will start with flawed people. People that have issues. People that have imperfections. People that are not the best. Listen to me. If Spark Nation was to have his way, have the way of the set man, he probably would have been praying for wonderful professionals, educated people, you know, people that are already doing it, doing well, already made, like some people refer to them. But the army of the Lord doesn't gather like that. It starts with insignificant, so-called insignificant people. So-called, mind you, so-called insignificant people. That's how the army that gathered to David too also gathered. They gathered as he that was in debt, he that was wasted, he that has been driven out of the house. You might have been driven out of your house today like Jephthah. But listen to me, they are coming back to celebrate you. Yeah. I thought a better amen would have been appropriate there. Yeah. But it's only if you identify and connect with the battle of the Lord. Because if Jephthah can become the president, the so-called scoundrels, who are going to be, who are the ones that are going to be the minister of defense? They are the chiefs. They are the ones that will be calling the shots. So you and I need to understand that in life, things may not look like, do you know that some people have even lost their greatness on the platform of the fact that they were born into affluence. They were born into affluence. Everything was fine. Everything was perfect. And that became their casket. So don't look at yourself. That's why vehicles are very important. And listen to me, God will choose any vehicle. That's why for some people, he will choose the vehicle of stabbing. That's why for some people, he will choose the vehicle of robbery. That's why you will see someone like Pastor Enrique on the bed in the hospital after he had been stabbed, then begin to talk to the Lord. And let's say, yeah, that's what I've been waiting for. Now the vehicle is getting to the point where it has to land now. Yes, now we can begin to. Now we have used that vehicle to navigate you. Some people, it is the vehicle of prison. In the prison there, they will encounter God. So don't think, don't look down on the vehicle you are in now. You might have been sent out of the house. Listen, it's so that you can get to purpose. You might have been led back. You might have, things have may have been walked upside down. You might have been born to the wrong family in your own eyes. But listen, that family is only a vehicle. And I've always told you this, your background does not mean that your back should be on the ground. Your background does not mean that your back should be on the ground. Yes, it's your background, but it can stay there and where you push forward because it's only a vehicle. Identify the battle of the Lord. It's time to fight the battle of the Lord so that the battle, the small battles that you are trying to contend with, they come under you. And then you can call the shots. Joseph and his brothers, he had more than enough stuff to pick with them. But by the time Joseph got to where he was going, look at the vehicle God used for Joseph. Oh, come on. From someone that was feeding in his father's house, beloved by the father. The father made him a coat of many colors, pampered and spoiled. And God said, this vehicle of pampering cannot get you to where you are going. God yanked him up from that vehicle. Put him in the vehicle of slavery. Put him in the vehicle of slavery. That's how you can get to where you are going. From slavery to prison, what manner of life is this? It's a vehicle. It's a vehicle. It's a vehicle waiting for God's appointed time. I hear in my spirit as I was praying over this message, the Lord told me there are people here that their appointed time to enter into the fullness of purpose is here. And if you are one of us, can I hear you Lord, shout a loud amen? Amen. Understand this, sirs and ma'am, so that you can focus yourself on fighting the battle of the Lord instead of looking back at my brothers drove me out. Some of you are fighting your brothers. You are fighting your mother. You are fighting your sister. Why don't you flee from them? Flee. Instead of fighting. Because you have so much of energy. By the time the energy is wasted, God taught me this many years. The Lord told me, he said, what the enemy does, take note of this, what the enemy does is this. He pushes so many battles your way. You roll up your sleeve, begin to fight. But really, those battles are not destiny battles. So, but what is supposed to happen is that the enemy wants to get to a place where you have exhausted your strength. So that when destiny battle now comes, you don't have any strength to fight. I said, no, I've been fighting many battles. No, you were fighting irrelevant battles. Now the real battle that you are supposed to brace up has come. Where you are supposed to have energy. You must know when to flee from some things. You must know when to flee from parents instead of fighting day and night. Say, no, yes, no, yes. Mm-mm. You must know when to step out. You must know when to step out of relationships. Some people are in relationships, it's one quarrel after another. And your life is going down as if your life is built for quarrel. Why don't you flee that relationship? And stop attaching yourself by all means. Say, no, it must work. What? Work what? Work what? We are fighting every day. Flee. Because it will take your eyes off the real battle. And the Lord told me there are so many Jephthahs in the house today. The background has not been the best. And you have found yourself in some stuff. You've gotten yourself into some deep mess. Some people, even how they got to this particular vehicle of rape, they don't know. But listen, sir, God is a God of plan and purpose. Do you know it's that brokenness that led so many people to Christ? Because they couldn't find any other thing to satisfy outside. And that was what God used. And so by the time you come into Christ and identify the battle of the Lord, your past becomes irrelevant. Because it gives you a glorious new beginning that makes you relevant to those that were looking down on you. Looking down on you. Looking down on you. It's time to fight the Lord's battle. It's time to stop fighting your personal battles by yourself. It's time to brace up and say, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I join myself to this army. I connect to this house to fight the Lord's battle so that I can be relevant in what you have ordained me to be. And we're going to be praying today for Jephthahs. Don't look back to where you are coming from and say, oh, I wish I was born into a better family. Don't wish. God is not a God of errors. God is not a God of errors. He never makes mistakes. Thank God for the family you came from. Because listen to me, some of you, if not for the family you came from, you would have been wasted. You would not even have smelled anything called salvation. Some of you would not even have had anything called Jesus. So thank God for anything that has brought you to this point, to this point, to this house, to this place this morning. Thank God for it. Not blame God for it. Celebrate 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 God for it. Somebody shout, yes! Celebrate God for it. Celebrate God for it. But don't just celebrate God. Be sure you are deliberately connected to fight the armies, to fight the battle of the Lord. Jephthah never arrived. Scoundrels gathered to him. They all came from everywhere. But his day came. What he was meant to be fighting came. What was he doing all the while? He was getting himself prepared. Listen to me. I was in the morning of one of the days of the week, the Lord told me, stars don't just rise one day. God has an incubator from where he releases stars after they have been walked upon. How did he come? I was listening to a lady in praise and worship, and I was enjoying the praise, and I was asking, wait a minute, where did this lady come from? All of a sudden, is that not what's been happening to Spark? That just started 2 years ago. We have been in the incubator. Now the world can hear us because the time of Spark Nation has come. And if the time of Spark Nation has come, it simply means your time has come. I thought I would hear a good amen to that. Somebody said, my time has come. What's been happening? You have been in the incubator. The incubator in the place of prayer where God's servants praying for hours. Ministering to 3 people. Nobody saw. Nobody sees those periods. Some of you are in the incubator still now. Because I want to pray quickly for some people. Some of you are in the incubator still. And then you are wondering, Lord, why is my life like this? Calm down. God is not in a rush. He has incubators. Why are they not giving me opportunity to do this? Calm down. If you come out prematurely, you may die before your time. I know I should be able to lead. No, calm down. Let him lift you. Let him expose you in due season. I told some of my men some years back, I was pastoring. I said, if I give you an assignment that you are not spiritually prepared or ready for, I will be a very wicked leader. Because I will expose you to attacks that you are not ready for, to fight for. I said, so don't beg for opportunities. Don't beg for, you better wait. Stay for your time. Let your man of God be a man of God, not a man of the people. Let your man of God be a man of God. And thank God for the leadership we have in this house. No story, no emotions. Let your leader be a leader, a man of God, not a man of the people. Everybody, look at how they did to Moses. Look at how they did. Moses begged God for them when they misbehaved. Not one single person was able to beg God for Moses when Moses missed the mark. So I made up my mind. I said, no way. No church member will be able to make, because they don't have a voice with God in the first place. Moses can go and beg God on behalf of the people when they misbehave. There was no single person. When Moses tried to beg God for himself, God said, hey, I've spoken, forget that matter. That was the end of the story. But when you come under the army of God, stay and fall in line. Let God sit on you. Let him take you through the incubator. God has an incubator. I was listening to the lady. And I said, where did this one come from? And the Lord told me, he said, don't forget that God has an incubator from where he releases people from season to season. Listen to me. You may not know. There is a change of guard in the atmosphere already. There is a change of guard. Betting have been exchanged. People have been replaced. New stars are rising up. New industrialists are rising up. New generals are rising up. New leaders of industries are rising up. I am praying for you this morning because you are the river bank. If your amen can be louder than your neighbor, you are rising up. I said you are rising up. Stand with me to office. Say, are you rising up? Somebody shout, I rise. Shout, say, I arise. Lift up your two hands. Lift up your two hands. Lift up your two hands. There's a change of God. Stars have been raised. Oh, I thank you, Lord. The Lord told me. Put down your hand 1 minute. The Lord told me. He said, many of you have been in the incubator. Business incubation. Finance incubation. You have been sat upon by the Lord. Listen, two faces. You have been sat upon by the Lord. The Lord said to me, announce to them that they are already now exiting the incubator, ready to be showcased to their world. Listen, is that not what is happening concerning Spark? Many years, God's servant, we're staying in the same house. We'll be praying in his room. I didn't know until he said it that we were monitoring ourselves by radar to stretch our prayer life. I didn't know until he said this. Because any time he was praying, I can't stop. When I see him stop, I also stop. But the no wonder the Bible says, he that is unmarried careth for the things of the Lord. However far I want to stretch it, me, I was married as of that time. So he will stretch it longer. And I will say, I will pay back this time. I will pay back somehow. He was not yet married then, so he could fire on all day. That's why, listen to me, now that you are unmarried, it's time to be on fire for God. It's time to go all out. It's time to go without reservations so that you can go very far. He said it that day in one preaching like that. So this man too. Okay, now I know. But understand this. There's a change of God. That's why you see ministries are dropping. Industries are dropping. Because there are some new sets that God is releasing from the incubator. Are you one of us? Are you one of us? Lift your hand and shout, yes! But listen, for adventure, you are here this morning. No. It's how the Lord laid it on my heart. For adventure, you are here this morning. You have been fighting your battles by yourself or your own way. And you want to say, Lord, I want to come into the army of the Lord to fight the battle of the Lord together with this great nation. I've been fighting it by myself, carrying all manner of things to fight for myself, to fend for myself. I don't know how better to do it, but now I hear how giants are made. Because listen to me, what made you to be fighting like the way you were fighting is only because there was a hunger within you. Time will not permit me to go into the details. Jephthah knew that inheritance was not what he was feeling in his spirit, man. Jephthah knew that, no, this is too small. This is not what, no. But unfortunately for some people, they feel that thing, but they don't know how to channel it. So they begin to fight by themselves. They carry all manner of weapons. They say, no, I'm going to fend for myself. I'm going to defend my family. I'm going to be able to provide for my mom. I'm going to be able to provide for my family. I'm the breadwinner. I must go all out and hustle for them. No, sir. The wrong way. But what you are feeling within you is not wrong. It's right. But listen, you are not supposed to be fighting individuals. You are supposed to be fighting institutions. You are supposed to be fighting organizations. Fighting finance mountains. Fighting for the mountains of politics. That's where your fight can be relevant and make a mess of the personal fight. And the only way you can do that is by connecting to a nation, fighting the battle of God. And as we begin to pray and as we begin to worship, I want to pray for some Jephthahs here. Men and women, you have been fighting some personal battles, trying to do it your own way, trying to make ends meet by yourself. But the Lord is saying to you this morning, if you only can identify this nation, you have come here, then why don't you join yourself to this great army? So that those personal battles, this is the way it works. This is the way it works. This is the way it goes in life. We are going to worship the Lord just 2 minutes, and God's servant is going to come up. But please, I want you to open. I know that there is a big thing on my inside, but I didn't know how to go about it. Some people go about it by all manner of activities that is destroying their life. Because they feel something in them. But I'm showing you today that what you feel is correct. But how to go about it is why God brought you here this morning. And as we worship the Lord, I want to call about 30 people here this morning. I want to say, I've been fighting my battle by myself. Now I want to join myself to the army of the Lord so that I can fight a relevant destiny battle. I no longer want to do it my own way. I no longer want to do it my own way. Church, I want you to begin to pray, because there are people that have been released. God is raising some people now. He's releasing you. You have been in the incubator. And now the time has come for you to be showcased to your world, because you are part of this great army of God. There came a time Jephthah was showcased to his generation, and his personal battles became a nonsense battle because a further battle of the Lord. As we begin to pray this morning and as we begin to worship, you are here walking in our midst. You are here touching every life. He's the way maker.